We'll turn now to God's Word, and the first reading is Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works follow them." And then over into John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." When they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, because he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." God add his blessing to his holy word. Well, friends, the verse I'd like to speak on tonight is in the last book in Revelation, chapter 14, and verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works follow them.'" Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. It's a lovely text, isn't it? And the blessed, we know it means happy, and the blessed, appears seven times in the book of Revelation, and it's the second time that we have the word blessed in this book of Revelation. Of course, first of all, we got a reminder of death, haven't we? Reminder of one of the great certainties of life. Someone has said, isn't it? Was an American president that can't remember which one. The two certainties in life, death and taxes, Because taxes we can sometimes avoid, but it's difficult. But death we cannot avoid. It is absolutely certain, isn't it? It doesn't matter who we are, what colour we are, skin, what our background. Doesn't matter whether we're a celebrity, how fit we are. It comes to all. It's a great leveller. In the psalmist says, Psalm 89:48, what man can live and not see death? No one. Who can deliver himself from the power of the grave? You know, as Ecclesiastes 3:2 tells us, it says there's a time to be born, and it's got a time of different seasons for different things. But there's a time to die. It is a certainty. And of course, death, although it's uncertain to us, it is determined by God. It is in God's calendar. He has that appointment, doesn't he? It's one of us. Job 14:5 says this, since his days are determined, the number of his months are with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. In Psalm 139:16, we read, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me. And so it is fixed, isn't it? It is determined the day when we will take our last breath. We don't know when it will be, but God knows. And people can sometimes say, I will fight this, and it's good perhaps to fight an illness. But, you know, we cannot alter the time. It's in God's divine calendar, isn't it? That very time when we will leave, when our spirits will leave our body, and we can do nothing to alter that. It is determined and fixed by God. You know, we can grow many things, grow crops, can't we? We can perhaps increase some money in the bank or investments. Sometimes we can lose it, but you can increase it, and we can increase a lot of things. But we cannot increase the length of our life. It doesn't matter how many pills we take or how many runs in the morning we do or how often we go to the gym. We cannot alter that time, and God has determined when our life will end. It's uncertain to us, but it is certain to God. And of course, it's why we need to be prepared, isn't it? You know, life is uncertain. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. And of course we know, don't we, that death, it is not the end, is it? We're not just body, but we have a soul, don't we? As Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And I often quote this verse in the open air and say, but after this, it doesn't say not after this reincarnation, you come back, it's not that. It's not purgatory, but after this, the judgment. Death is not the end. It's appointed unto man once to die, but, there's a serious but, isn't it? But after this, the judgment. Yes, we have an eternal soul, don't we? It's an old American war, Civil War ditty, isn't it? John Brown's body may lay a moulder in the grave, but his soul goes marching on. But as we read about death, here it says, isn't it? It's an amazing statement. Blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And of course, that word blessed, happy. And of course, it's an amazing, it's an opposite thing, isn't it? The world would say the opposite. You know, happy are those who are living. Happy if you've got the breath of life, but not when you're dead. But here it says, blessed are the dead. It says the total opposite, isn't it, to what the world says. The world, they just live for this life, don't they? Eat, drink, and be merry, for the moment they die. And they just think of this life, don't they? They never think of the hereafter. Aristotle, he wrote, didn't he, death is to be most feared of all things, for it appears to be the end of everything. There was an English professional golfer who was asked at the end of one of his most profitable years on the European tour, is there anything that frightens you? And he said, death. I'm in a position where I can pretty well do much as I want to. You know, dying wouldn't be good right now. H.G. Wells wrote books, didn't he? Was it The War of the Worlds and others? He said to me, the future is still black and blank. It's a vast ignorance. How sad, you know, the future looking ahead. Us as believers, as Christians, the future is not ignorance, is it? It's not a blank. It's not black, is it? The best is yet to be. You know, Robbie Williams, his singer and DJ, and I read this recently, following the death of his friend, Sean Warne. And that was very sudden, wasn't it? Only 52. A fit person, wasn't it? And suddenly had pangs, didn't he? And it was a suspected heart attack. Died suddenly. Total shock. And this is what Robbie Williams said. He said, his passing has inspired me to think about life in a different way. And the fragility of life is terrifying. In other words, he's terrified of death. In the world, they don't like to think about it, do they? You know, it's not much which is taboo nowadays, is it? To talk about anything, things which are totally shameful. The one thing that people, they don't like to think about death, do they? They don't like to talk about it. And the Bible talks about it. Death, you know, it is something that can be feared. It's the king of terrors, as Job says. It's the last enemy. It talks about the sting of death. It is something which is not nice, is it? But then it says here, blessed or happy. And we'd ask the question, why is it blessed? Why is it blessed for those who die in the Lord? Well, there's a number of reasons why we can say that it is blessed for the believer, for the Christian who dies. Well, the first thing is, isn't it, for the believer, he's going to be with the Lord, isn't it? The true Christian is someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. And so what better when we leave this life? We go to be with the Lord, face to face. So my Saviour, isn't it? What's the Apostle Paul said? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know, in Philippians 1:23, he said, I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He was torn between the two, didn't he? He realized his presence was needful about serving the other Christians, believers, and sharing the gospel. But then the other part of him wanted to be with Christ, which is far, far better. There was a little girl I remember reading about. This little girl, she was dying, and she was a believer, a Christian. And her parents were saying, you know, just think of all these different Christian members of your family who passed on before, that you would see them. But she said, Mum, you know, the best thing is that the Lord, I'll see him. He'll be there. And that is the most important thing, isn't it? For the Christian, yes, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it, to meet people like Moses and Abraham and all the other great saints and people like George Whitfield and Spurgeon. But, you know, the best thing is that the Lord will be there. And so that's the first reason, isn't it? Well, it's blessed that we go to be with the Lord. But another reason why it is blessed for those who die in the Lord is it means that we will experience perfect bliss and joy. The psalmist says, Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Not just joy, but fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, pleasures that will never, ever be taken away. And so in heaven, with a perfect bliss and joy, there's many pleasures on earth, but there's nothing, is it, compared to the joy of heaven, to what we'll experience there. What a contrast to the world. The world just lives for the pleasures of this world, but it finds it empty. It doesn't satisfy, does it? So Richard Elvis Presley, he said early on in his career, he said that he had three ambitions. He wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. And then just, I think it was a matter of weeks before he died. So a reporter said to him, he reminded him, you had these ambitions, Elvis. Have you achieved them? And he said, no, I'm not happy. I'm lonely as hell. Emptiness, all his fame and success. He wasn't. He'd become rich and famous, but he hadn't achieved happiness. Marilyn Monroe, she took her life, didn't she? Film star, and she said this. She said, fame will go by. I've always known it was fickle. The contrast in the Christian, our joys are not tied up in this world, are they? It's in the Beulah land, in the glory above, isn't it? And then it is blessed for the believer who dies in the Lord because it is to enter into peace. There's no real peace in this world. We see a lot of Ukraine, don't we? And of course, there's ever conflicts like Yemen and other places and broken families. And it's anything but peaceful in this world, isn't it? And we read there, but when we get to the glory, you know, there will be real peace, won't there? Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2 says this, the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. So the person who's called home to be with the Lord, they're taken away, aren't they? We're taken away from the trouble of this world, and we'll enter into everlasting peace. How wonderful that is. And then it means as well, it's blessed because it means rest from their labours. It says, doesn't it? Yes, say the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works follow them. Rest from their labours. And their labours, it means difficult toils. And often it is, isn't it? It's not easy being a Christian in this world, particularly hard for some in some parts of the world where they're really persecuted, and Muslim countries and North Korea. And it can be difficult, isn't it? We get trials and there's valleys, there's problems. But, you know, we have perfect rest there, won't we? In glory, when we get to heaven. How wonderful that will be. There's a lovely song, isn't it? Beyond the sunset, earth's toiling ends. Oh, glorious morning, beyond the sunset, when day is done. And we can look forward to that. How different it is, isn't it, to those who don't die in the Lord, where we read, don't we? They have no rest, day or night. Their torment ascends, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. For the believer, those who die in the Lord, we will know rest from our labours. But then also, as well, it is blessed for the believer, and is that there's no pain or sorrow. It'll be the end of all pain and sorrow. In Revelation 21, verse 4, we read, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." You know, this life is often a valley of tears. There are shadows, aren't there? There are sorrows, there are heartaches, disappointments. People let us down, we let people down, and tears caused by our sin and failure. But everything that causes pain and heartache and sorrow, it will all be absent, won't it? All our tears will be wiped away. How wonderful it will be. And then it is death. It is blessed as well for those who die in the Lord. And there's lots of things we could say, but the other one I got is it's gain. You know, for the believer, it is gain. What did the Apostle Paul say in Philippians 1:21? "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." You know, it's gain, isn't it? To the unbeliever, they can't say it's gain, is it? It's a loss of everything. They leave everything behind. But for the believer, we leave our material things all behind. It's all temporary, isn't it? But what we have, peace with God, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all the blessings that can never be taken away. And we go be with the Lord forever. And nothing will ever take it away. It'll be great gain, the greatest gain of all, won't it? To be with the Lord. And so those are some of the reasons why it is blessed for those who die in the Lord. And you know, the Lord's people on deathbeds, they proved it, haven't they? They proved how it is a blessing, isn't it, to know the Lord. What a difference it is, isn't it? There was a doctor who treated several Methodists, and he made the claim to Charles Wesley. He said, "Most people die for fear of dying, but I never met with such people as yours. They are none of them afraid of death, but are calm and patient and resigned to the last." You know, John Wesley, you probably heard it, he said, "Our people die well." There's nothing like a believer. It's such a big contrast, isn't it, between the death of a believer and an unbeliever. He's one of the Methodists at that time of John Wesley. He said, it said this of this person: "He died as he lived, in the full assurance of faith, praising God with his latest breath." I remember a few years ago down at St. Ives, we were on holiday, and there was a beach mission, and there was a Polish man, and he was a GP up in the Birmingham area. He's retired, and he shared his testimony. And he had been he was over in Poland in the war, and then the Russians came in, and because although he was Polish, I think he must have had some German blood. He had like a German name. He had to get out because otherwise his life could have been danger. And he got out, and he got to this country, and he trained, and he qualified as a GP, as a doctor. And for many years he wasn't a Christian. But one day he went to a house, and it was a couple, and the husband was dying. And the lady, the wife, she was singing hymns. And he said, "Look, you know, you shouldn't be singing hymns at a time like this." But, you know, they shared what the difference it was, you know, the glorious hope and certainty they have. And it was through that testimony of that couple that man, he became a Christian. He was saved. There's so many, aren't there? I think a top lady, many hymns, isn't it? The last words that he says, "Light, light, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." But when he wrote that last hymn, wasn't it? "Abide with me," Henry Francis Light. He wrote that not too many months before he was called home. And his last words were, "Peace, joy." Yes, the Lord's people have proved that it is indeed a blessing to know the Lord. It's blessed to die in the Lord. It makes all the difference. But of course that reminds us, isn't it? You know, some people think, well, everybody, it's going to be okay with everybody. But it isn't. It's only blessed for those who die in the Lord. If a person doesn't die in the Lord, they're not blessed. They're cursed. It is opposite, isn't it? You see, what is the other way? We either, there's two types of death. We can die in different ways. We may die suddenly. We may die in our sleep. We may die slowly or die painfully and die in different ways. But really, there's only two ways that a person dies. We either die in the Lord, blessed, or we die, as the Lord Jesus mentioned in those religious people in John's Gospel in chapter 8, die in our sins. And that's a terrible thing, isn't it? And the person who dies in their sins, they are not blessed. What is it to die in our sins? It is to die unforgiven. Because, you know, we cannot go to heaven, can we, with our problem of sin? You see, God will not receive any sinner into heaven unless they have first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, unless they receive the gift of forgiveness by repenting of their sin and putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To die in our sins is to go into a lost eternity, to go to that place called hell. To die in our sins is to die without hope. Ephesians 2:12 talks about those, isn't it? Having no hope. That's what we were before we were saved. We had no hope. Hopelessly lost. You know, someone has said, isn't it, to die without Christ is a hopeless end, but to have Christ is to have an everlasting hope, isn't it? It's an everlasting hope, but without Christ, it's a hopeless end. You know, to die in our sins, it's to die unchanged, isn't it? It's to die in darkness. It's to die knowing that all what we live for is of no value, worthless. That's why Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And so the most important thing is to make sure that we will have this blessing, that we will die in the Lord. That is the most important thing. So how do we make sure that we die in the Lord? Well, we need to be in the Lord, don't we? We need to trust the Lord. There's two things that we need to do. As Jesus said in Mark 1, verse 15, repent and believe in the gospel. And so we need to repent, don't we? We need to turn from our sin, be sorry for the wrong things that we've done, to turn, be willing to turn from all what is wrong and sinful and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John Bunyan, when he came under conviction and the Spirit of God was speaking to him, and he had the Spirit of God say to him, will you keep your sins and go to hell? Or will you leave your sins and go to heaven? And that is the choice, isn't it? We have to be prepared to leave our sin, to turn from our sin. We can't do it on our own strength, but we have to be willing. And if we're willing, ask the Lord to make us willing, and he can change us. And then we have to believe in the gospel. In other words, we have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the only one who can save us, to see that we're spiritually bankrupt, that we're hopeless, that we're helpless, that we can do nothing to save ourselves. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to the end of this world. He died upon that cross to take the punishment in the place of guilty sinners. The Bible says Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that is the wonderful thing, isn't it? The wonderful truth of the gospel. We can never save ourselves. We have no goodness of ourselves. All our righteousness is with filthy rags. But if we own up to our sin and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he died and took our place upon the cross, make him our substitute, then we receive, don't we, the righteousness of Christ. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and instead of our filthy rags and our sin, we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks upon us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees Christ's perfection and righteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanses us from all sin. It is, you see, isn't it? To die in the Lord, it is to have the righteousness of God, because without the righteousness of God, we will never be able to stand before holy God in our sin. Philippians 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That is the righteousness that we need. Many people, they make this mistake, they think they have to do something, they have to earn it, but we can never earn it. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And for the person who dies in the Lord, who's received the righteousness of Christ, who've repented of their sin and put their trust and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, they can know what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. How wonderful that is, that when we go before God, we will not be condemned, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he was condemned in our place. He took the punishment that we deserved But we have to come to him, don't we? And so, as a reminder of death, isn't it? We all need to prepare, don't we? To die well, we need to live well. You know, John Wesley said this, "You have no time to lose. See that you redeem every moment that remains. A good death is a culmination of a life lived for the glory of God, no matter the length of our days." You know, Spurgeon said, "He who does not prepare for death is a madman." Matthew Henry said, "It ought to be the business of everyone to prepare for our last day." Those are the Christians, isn't it? To live more and more for the Lord. We fail him often, don't we? We seek to live for him more. And if we don't know the Lord, as I say, we're not sure if we're right with God, then we need to make it our business to make sure that we know that we are right with God, that we're forgiven, that we trusted the Saviour. The tragedy is most people, they think just of this life, don't they? You know, Deuteronomy 32:29 says, "Oh, that they might be wise, that they would consider their latter end." And they often quote this verse out in the open air. You know, people are wise. You know, people think, well, yes, you know, think about your pension plan and it's good, about your retirement, prepare for that. It's good. But the really wise person, it's not those things. The really wise person is the person who considers their latter end, who makes sure they know where they're going when they leave this life, who makes sure that they're right with God. And that should be the main business of every person, to make sure that they're right with God. That's the mistake that the rich farmer made, wasn't it? In Luke 12, you know, he'd done very well for himself, and the world would think he was a wise person. He thought, "What must I do? I've had a good harvest. I should pull down my barns and build bigger barns and store my goods." And then he said, "Soul, take thine ease. I have many years laid up for me." And a wise thing to do. But God's called him a fool. He said, "Thou fool, because this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Because that man, he was a fool because he assumed he had a long time to live. But it was that very night. We don't know, do we? Just like that cricketer died suddenly. People die unexpectedly all the time, don't they? We need to be ready. And he was a fool, that man, wasn't he? Because like so many people in this world, he lived life, obviously, without any reference to God. God was in none of his thoughts. God never crossed his mind. It's like the young man I mentioned, never thought about God. God never crossed his mind. People need to, don't they? We need to be awakened. And so we need to prepare. As I draw to a close, do we fear death? You know, some, we may fear the process of dying. It's not nice, is it? But here for the believer, we don't need to fear death. What is the answer? What is the cure to the fear of death? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Jesus. In Hebrews 2, verse 15, we read how the Lord Jesus Christ came, "Release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He is the one that can take away that fear. You know, Psalm 23, that lovely psalm, isn't it? It says that, "Yea, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And the key to that psalm and to not having that fear is at the beginning of the psalm, isn't it? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And when the Lord is our shepherd, whatever may happen to us in this life, it doesn't matter, does it, really? Because we're the Lord's, and he's with us, and we know that the best is yet to be. And so I trust these thoughts have been encouragement and help to us.